Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A strange question came up during a testimony in Congress regarding chemical abortion drugs. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, you're referring to the question from Senator Josh Hawley, and I would really categorize it as strange. It's just black and white. Can men get pregnant? Well, we know the answer to that. No.
Well, and the question is, why did that question come up when the testimony was about chemical abortion drugs? We'll talk about that. We'll come back to that particular point and go over some of the unbelievable dialogue between Senator Josh Hawley and the so-called expert that was there called by the other side of the aisle regarding the chemical abortion drug mifepristone.
Yeah, she's an OBGYN, and I think that's rather tragic if she can't define who gets pregnant.
Yeah, so during the testimony at the United States Committee on Health, Education, and Labor and Pensions, exposing the drug chemical abortions that include mifepristone, and the harm and the risk that they present to women and obviously to the environment, that's the context of the hearing. So that was the hearing. It was focused on mifepristone and the harm to the environment. Liberty Counsel Action, our sister 501c4 organization, submitted written testimony to this U.S. Senate committee, specifically focused on the issue of mifepristone entering our water supply, mifepristone and misoprostol. They both pose serious physical, mental, emotional, and environmental risks to women and to society. The testimony calls for reinstating the FDA safety protocols and conducting a comprehensive, legally compliant environmental assessment, arguing that the Clean Water Act and the National Environmental Policy Act is violated by what's happening. And what's happening is mifepristone is accounting for the vast majority of abortions, even though brick and mortar abortion clinics are closing, thank God, post the Dobbs decision of 2022. But what's happening is abortions are still continuing and even increasing because of this abortion drug that can be obtained telemedicine with no in-person visit and no follow-up.
Yeah, it's really hard to track these abortion pills now and the abortions that are done through them, because if they're getting them, you know, in the mail, kind of under the radar, you know, they're doing them at home in private without a doctor or anyone present, which is quite dangerous. You know, it's hard to track how many are really happening versus them going into the brick and mortar facilities.
Yeah, so this particular hearing was about this. We've had a number of meetings with members of Congress and also some of the regulatory agencies regarding mifepristone and abortion in our water. And in fact, we actually have a special website, very informative. I encourage you to visit it. It's abortioninourwater.org, abortioninourwater.org. We have information, slides, handouts, printouts, lots of information about this. So it's involving mifepristone. Mifepristone is an abortion drug that actually blocks progesterone that causes the child to starve to death in the womb. And misoprostol is a drug that causes the contractions to expel the baby. Where these abortions are taking place is over the toilet, in the home, or in a hotel. And where are the remains and where are the drugs deposited? In the water supply. So mifepristone does not break down. It has metabolites that do not break down right away. So those metabolites are going into the water. It's a drug that blocks the production of progesterone, which can cause, quote unquote, miscarriages by starving the baby. So this gets into our water supply. Our water supply is not prepared or equipped to filter out mifepristone. But worse, what gets into our water supply, worse what gets into this water supply is the actual human remains of the aborted baby.
That's just really hard to believe. It's so tragic. But like you said earlier, they did not design these filtration systems, apparently, to break these down. Because you think everything I put in my body is going to go through there. But you've got abortion pills and remains of children in the water system.
Yeah, you have abortion pills, again, which blocks progesterone. So the question is, does that come back into the drinking water? And if it does,
how does that affect other
people?
How
does that affect other people, particularly women who are pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Does that also result in miscarriages because we have an increase in miscarriages that are taking place? Those are questions that need to be answered. These are questions that were never addressed by the FDA when mifepristone was approved in 2000 during the twilight years of the Clinton administration. Moreover, these are questions that have never been even asked, and that is about the human remains of the baby entering into the water supply. I'm talking about human remains, flesh, blood, organs, bones, tissue that just simply do not dissolve, that enter into the water supply. And that has never been envisioned, to put human remains into the water supply. And so that's where these abortions are taking place. So the testimony was about mifepristone. We then submitted testimony from one of our team members in which we addressed mifepristone and specifically the water supply issue. So this is now part of the congressional record. So Josh Hawley is on the committee. He's a senator from Missouri, Republican. And there was a person that was called by the Democrats. And that person was an OBGYN who refused to even acknowledge the studies that have come out that have found, as it relates to women, there's an 11% increase over and above what they anticipated before of harm to women. So there's new studies that come out that show mifepristone is not safe for the women, let alone deadly for the child. And so this OBGYN wouldn't even acknowledge that that study existed. So Josh Hawley is probing this person a little bit more closely about the science, because the person, Dr. Nisha Verma, says that she just follows the science. Well, let's see. Does she follow the science? And this is what Josh Hawley says. Quote, do you think men can get pregnant? Do you think men can get pregnant? He asked the doctor, board-certified OBGYN, and fellow with the Physicians for Reproductive Health. Dr. Verma refused to answer the question. He repeated it over and over again. You just said, for example, a moment ago that science and evidence should control, not politics. So let's just test that proposition. Can men get pregnant?
Yeah, and so she replies that she cares for patients with different identities and added that, I'm not really sure what the goal of the question is.
Yeah, and then she said, at one point she argued that yes and no questions like this are a political tool. Hawley disagreed. He goes, no, yes, no questions are about the truth, doctor. Let's not make a mockery of this proceeding. This is about science and evidence. Senator Hawley said, I'm asking you, the United States Supreme Court just heard arguments yesterday at great length on this question. This is not a hypothetical question. This is not theoretical. It affects real people in their real lives. And asked again, can men get pregnant? It's a yes or no question. Can men get pregnant?
And then she accused him of trying to reduce the complexity of the situation, referring in all likelihood to so-called transgender men, which are women who have the ability to get pregnant. So the answer is women get pregnant, not men.
Yeah, she says, well, I'm a person of science, and I'm also someone here who's here to represent the complex experiences of my patient.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think polarized language or questions serve that goal. I don't think they serve the American people. Hawley said, it's not polarizing to say that there is a scientific difference between men and women. And he asked the question again. He doesn't just say, can men get pregnant? He also says, can biological men get pregnant? So if she's trying to hide by the fact, oh, well, a man can be a woman can be a man, so there's different identities. Can a biological man get pregnant? So that narrows it down even more. And guess what she answered? She wouldn't. Nope. She wouldn't answer that.
And this doctor, she's not only an OBGYN, but she also serves as an adjunct assistant professor at Emory University School of Medicine. So this is the kind of these are the kind of people that are teaching our future medical personnel.
World? I mean, how does somebody graduate from medical school with that kind of stupidity? You can't even say no, biological men cannot get pregnant. It doesn't matter what they had done. No, they can't get pregnant. Just it's a yes or no answer. This is the nonsense that's out there. So continue to pray as we have further meetings with members of Congress and the agencies regarding this very dangerous, deadly abortion drug, mifepristone. For more information, go to abortioninourwater.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. The website again, lc.org.